In a recent Calvin and Hobbes comic strip, six-year-old Calvin, and I love six-year-old Calvin. Six-year-old Calvin was sitting at his desk at school taking a test. Above him in that first panel was the question he was to answer. Explain Newton's first law of motion in your own words. Woo, what a test. The second panel showed Calvin grinning, kind of sitting back with an exclamation mark above him. The third panel showed his answer. Yakafub mog, grug pubawab zink watum gazork, chumble spuzz. The last panel had Calvin leaning back in his seat with a smile on his face saying, I love loopholes. Well, the test did say in your own words, didn't it? This morning, I believe Scripture may close a loophole you may think you can use about an aspect of following Jesus. I want us to think about evangelism. I want us to think about witnessing or sharing one's faith or giving away your faith. However you want to describe that first step to making disciples. Why do we find it so hard to tell others about what Jesus has done in our hearts and lives? Looking for a loophole, some might say, well, I'm not the preacher, so I don't have to tell others about Jesus. Since when did shepherds make sheep? Do not sheep make sheep? Others might say, evangelism is not my spiritual gift. And certainly evangelism is listed there in Ephesians 4 of the spiritual gifts. But Scripture is also clear that we are all to be about the task of telling others about Jesus. As we look at Ezekiel 3, God's word will close a loophole you may think you can use about giving away your faith. Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to read two passages that are kind of back to back. Chapter 3, verses 4 through 11 and 16 to 21. Then he, being the Lord, said to me, being Ezekiel, then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Nor to many peoples of an unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. However, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I will speak to you, and listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them, whether they listen or not, thus says the Lord. Down to verse 16. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin. And his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, He shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. The loophole begins to close as you trust in God's equipping. Paul said, the grace of the Lord is always sufficient, always sufficient. Ezekiel had been left behind in Israel when his compatriots, Daniel, Azariah, all those guys went. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had first been sent to Babylon. They had gone, Ezekiel had stayed. Later, he too would be taken in the second wave of the deportation. He would never see Jerusalem again. It was there at the river Kabar. It was a man-made river. It was a canal, a watering canal. If you know anything of that part of the world, that's what we now know as Iraq. And there's two rivers there in Iraq, the Euphrates and the Tigris. And if you get very far away from those two rivers, you're in the desert. And here they are by the river Kabar, and the water's there. And God is dealing with him, and the Lord comes to speak to Ezekiel, and he says, go to the house of Israel and speak these words. He says, go to your family, go to your neighbors, go to your countrymen. It's not overseas missions. It's not unintelligible speech. It's not to go to Honduras and try to evangelize on the street corner, and you know it about three words in Spanish, how to say them in the appropriate time. No, it's none of that. He says, go to your countrymen. Go to your fellow exiles. Go to the house of Israel. And he says, they should listen to you, but they won't. They won't. But I'm going to take care of you. They were stubborn. They were obstinate people. They would not listen to the Lord. Literally, the description of them is a hard forehead and a stiff heart. Now, if I was to turn around and ask for a show of hands, who's got a hard head? How many would hold their hand up? Oh, some of you up here would, but would any of you all? I've got a hard head, but the Lord said their head's going to be harder and their hearts is going to be harder. He said, that's okay. That's okay. Even though they're stubborn, even though they're impudent, even though they're unyielding people who are able to resist the Lord speaking to them, it's okay. They were obstinate. They were hard-hearted, but it was a deliberate stiffening of their heart. It was a deliberate stiffening of their deepest, most innermost feelings and thoughts, because they, as a people, were set against the Word and the will of God. Does that sound familiar? He says, go to them. Go to them. I'm sending you, God said to Ezekiel. By this time, I'm sure Ezekiel was really pumping and excited about the task, don't you think? I don't think he was. But the Lord said to him, I'm going to take care of you. I'm sending you. And Ezekiel had to answer this question that you have to answer. Do I fear God more, or do I fear man more? The Lord then begins to encourage Ezekiel, explaining how his grace would take care of them. He said, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as theirs. In fact, he goes so far as to say, if their heads are hard, your heads, one commentator said, would be like a diamond. That's hard. So trust in God's equipping. This is comparable to what Jesus was saying to the disciples as he readied them to go out, to be sent out. He said, I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. Yes. And you will be arrested and mistreated. Oh, that's encouraging. But do not worry or be anxious about what you will say. It will be given to you. It will be given to you. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. And all who follow Christ, all who obediently fulfill his command to make disciples, to proclaim the gospel, to give away their faith. That's what Jack read this morning. Listen, you may not have been present, but the command is still yours and mine. To proclaim the name of Jesus, to tell others what He's done in our lives. So we can trust in God's equipping, we can trust in His grace. If it's preaching on the corner, or sowing gospel seed at the store, or with your neighbor, or with your family, or with your friends, we can trust Him. You are being sent to a people who have tasted of God's goodness in living in such a place as this. But unfortunately, they do not want to hear anymore what He has to say. They do not want to submit their will to the will of God. And that's the challenge, is for us to be winsome. The challenge is for us to proclaim God's word. They don't want to hear that they have a problem that only God can solve. My first exposure to anything like faith or evangelism explosion or any of those kinds of things was in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I don't know if you know anything about Bartlesville, Oklahoma, but it's the headquarters. At that point, it was the headquarters of Phillips Petroleum Company, Phillips 66. The median income back in 1980 was quite high. One night we went into to some people's house, nice house. And as whoever I was with and I talked with them, we basically said to this couple, "You have a problem." And you could almost see it on the man's, I can remember thinking, I could see it on the man's face. If I've got a problem, I can just pay my way out of it. I'll go to a doctor, I'll get something to solve it. And that's not what we were talking about. The problem that the world has is the same problem that you and I had BC, before Christ. And that we were lost and that we were dead in our sin. So we live in a time that nobody wants to hear the gospel. Part of the problem may be that the world has become immunized to the gospel. But you and I are still challenged to share Jesus, to sow those seeds, gospel seeds. What will you do? The loophole is closed. The loophole is closed if you will be true to the Lord. We live our lives before an audience of one. Remember, the loophole is, I don't really have to share my faith. After the Lord told Ezekiel how He would equip him, He challenges Ezekiel. God had come to Ezekiel, handed him a scroll and told him to eat it. Take it in, let it empower you. And Ezekiel said, it tastes like honey. It tastes like honey. And in verse 10, God gives two clear words of instruction. The first had to do with Ezekiel's relationship with the Lord. Listen closely and take into your heart all my words. Listen closely. That's what this sharing time is all about. Listen closely to what the Lord is saying. Take it in. Take it in. Then the second word of instruction from the Lord. Go to the exiles and speak to them. All my words of instruction, whether they will listen or not. Whether they will listen or not. The challenge for Ezekiel was very clear. They were to be true to the Lord. And he was true to the Lord, no matter what the reception was going to be. And the same is true for all of us. In Acts chapter 4 is the account of Peter and John being arrested because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. When all the head honchos of the Pharisees got together to decide what they were going to do with Peter and John, they decided to warn them, be quiet, don't tell anybody. I love Peter and John's reply. They said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen
and heard.
In The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is commenting on Matthew 10, where Jesus is preparing the disciples to go out and preach the good news. The good news that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what he said. They must not fear men. Men can do them no harm, for the power of men ceases with the death of the body. But they must overcome the fear of death with the fear of God. The danger lies not in the judgment of men, but in the judgment of God. Not in the death of the body, but in the eternal destruction of body and soul. Those who are still afraid of men have no fear of God, and those who have fear of God have ceased to be afraid of men. All preachers of the gospel will do well to recollect this saying daily. Are you taking in God's word? Are you listening to what he is saying? Can we talk a minute? Over the last year, I have had my share of criticism, my share of discouragement pitched at me. From the tear-off part of the bulletin to phone calls. The tear-off part of the bulletin, I think somebody just forgot to sign their name. The person wrote, "Can no one else lead Bible studies? So if you volunteered, we'd be glad to give you a venue." One of the things you may not know about me is I decided a long time ago that I'm going to be true to the Lord. I decided that I live before an audience of one. And just let me say to you, you're not it. My wife is not the one. There has been more than one integrity check put into my life. I wish I could say I had passed them all. One of the two things that I am most ashamed of in my life happened the day I was a part of an unemployment deposition. When I worked in the greenhouse, we had fired a lady. Carol was her name. She filed for unemployment. We contested it. At the deposition, she pointedly asked me a question the owner had already told me how to answer. I lied and gave the answer the owner said. I failed. I failed myself, and I failed the Lord. And I resolved then and there to never fail the Lord again. If you are going to be true to the Lord, if you're going to be true to the Lord and share your faith, if you're going to be true to the Lord and share your faith and proclaim that the name of Jesus is the only name given among men by which we must be saved, let me tell you, not all will applaud. They won't. So you have to make the decision. Will you bow to the pressure of the moment, of the situation, or not? Will you be true to the Lord's word? The loophole is closed. The loophole stays closed because you will be held accountable about sharing God's message. We are to give away our faith. We are to tell others about Jesus. If he truly is the Savior of the world, if he truly does make a creature new, that's good news. That's good news. Ezekiel was given this very clear mandate, a very clear task. He said, "I have appointed you as a watchman for the house of Israel." The watchman. Think about it in terms of a walled city. And at the corners of the walls, every so often, if it was kind of a round wall, they would have outposts, and they would have people in those places looking out for danger. You know, the picture that comes to my mind is, think of the Old West. You've seen the old Western movies, the army fort that's got the in each corner's got the tower. And in each tower was somebody watching to see if anyone was coming. And that's what Ezekiel was charged to do. And when the person, the watchman, saw trouble, he was to alert others about the trouble. And Ezekiel was told, whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you are to warn them from me. This goes back to what Ezekiel was told earlier. Pay attention to your relationship with me, and whatever you hear from me, speak it out to the people. Out of that relationship would come what the people needed to hear. Ezekiel heard the Lord say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn him. The wicked will die because of his iniquities, yes, but his blood will be on your hands. You'll be accountable. One commentator compared the indifference to negligent homicide. The Lord goes on, if you warn the lost, the rebellious, and they continue on in their disobedience, they will die, but you, Ezekiel, will have delivered yourself if you have warned them. It wasn't Ezekiel's task to change their hearts, to change their minds. His task was surely just to warn them. There is no loophole to getting out of God, of sharing God's message. When our kids were little, and I'm trying to maintain deniability for the three of them, when our kids were little, we lived in a place where the road was quite busy in front of our house. One day I saw our across-the-street neighbor. You'd have to know this guy. But he came up to me and he said, I hope you don't mind, but I told one of your kids to get back away from the road. And I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, the other day when I came home, they were sitting where our driveway ended and the road began. He said, I hope you're not mad. And I said to him, buddy, I'd have been mad if you hadn't told him. So who are you responsible for? Put some names and faces to the list. I know we live in a time when no one wants to hear that whatever they're doing is wrong. So be sure God says it is wrong. Not your opinion, what God's word says. And whether someone is doing anything more than just saying no to Jesus, that is enough. You and I have been given the task of sharing our faith, of giving away our faith to others. So how are you doing with that? As a church, are we doing well with that? If we were doing well, I think we would be baptizing people regularly, and we do it sporadically. So what's your attitude toward others when you try to give your faith away? Are you pleasant, winsome, or are you belligerent and even hateful? It's interesting to me how much I forget in a year's time of all the things that happened. World Magazine, you know, it's the only magazine I pretty much that I've taken for the last 15 years. Every year has a year-end subscription. One of the things they do is they go through and list all the people, notable people who died. It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Well, one of the people that died was the founding pastor of the little church out in Kansas, Westboro Baptist Church, I think it's called. You've heard of them. They're the ones that go to soldiers' funerals in different places and hold up signs that are just hateful. That's not what we're to be about. We're to be winsome, loving, but firm with the truth that We all need Jesus Christ in our lives. Another bit of confession I'm not proud of. Some of you may remember the story. A couple years ago, Kim and I flew from Greenville to Lawton to San Antonio back home. And you may know, if you have done much flying in your time, that if you fly from a little airport to another little airport, you're probably going to go somewhere between. I don't know if it was going or coming. I don't remember what leg of the trip it was, but we flew from one of the little airports to a bigger airport to get wherever we were going. So we go, and we have to change planes, and we get off, and we run down to the other gate, and we sat there for a couple hours. A lot of fun. As we're sitting there at the gate, there was a man who came and sat down a seat away from me. I had the clear understanding, the clear prompting of the Holy Spirit. I was to share my faith. I was to witness. Call it what you will. I was to talk with that man. And I squirmed, and I rationalized, and I put it off, and I did everything I could until the flight was called. And if he was lost, if he is lost and does not know Jesus, his blood will be required at my hand. I am accountable. And so are you, for someone. I don't even know the man's name. You may know the names. So are you witnessing? Are you giving your faith away? Are you sowing gospel seeds? Are you trusting in God's equipping? Truly we say, but truly do we believe that God's grace is sufficient? As you live out your life, are you true to the Lord? Or are there gray areas? Think about the people in your life, your neighbors, the lady at the store, the people you work with. You're accountable for them. Or are you still trying to find a loophole?